bushwhacks were some of the worst days I've ever had in the mountains, or life, really.
I tell people all the time, never underestimate the Catskills. You can't underestimate them.
Why the Catskills is such a great place for trout.
It is really the development of New York State. Catskills were responsible.
Now you're listening to Inside the Line, the Catskills.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 100 of Inside the Line, the Catskill Mountains podcast. Yeah. Thank you. Really appreciate it. I want to give out some big thank yous. Ryan from Camp Catskill over here, giving us the spot to do this from. Really, really appreciate it. A fantastic place that has everything you need for the Catskills and hiking gear anywhere else. So come on down to Kent's Catskill whenever you need to. Also, big shout out to Jack Walker. He's right over there from Infinity Designs. Jack, where's Jack at? There he is. Jack has designed the stickers and all this raffle celebration, the podcast thing up here. And he's been a big help in helping me out for this whole thing. So it's been fantastic. Like to appreciate and thank everybody who's donated to the show, and especially everybody who's made it out today. This is way more than I wanted to be here. I would like Ryan, Mo, and Jessica is what I thought was going to be here. And I was just like, that's good enough for me. I didn't know a mountain lion was going to make it. So just to let you know, there's a live mountain lion here. You'll probably...
Bobcat!
It's Bobcat. Sorry. I was going to mistake it for a mountain lion. Forgive me on that one. But excellent. We have a big raffle going on. Gift cards from Westkill Brewing, Phoenicia Diner. Scenic Route Guiding donated a gift card to Camp Catskill. Catskill Center with a bunch of stuff for the donation. Strickland Hollow has two spots for cooking class located out in Delhi, which is great value because Jerry is an amazing cook from Baltimore. Steve Aaron Photo Calendar. Steve Aaron's here today. Amazing photographer. Going to have him on a little bit later. And Rev Spirits, a spirit maker located down in Jefferson, New York, donated some glasses of their spirit here. And it's fantastic stuff. So we're here now. We're here to have some fun and to talk about our amazing place of the Catskills, which it's starting to snow right now. If you haven't noticed, over on Hunter, it was starting to snow. So we're getting that stuff in here, and it's going to be a good time. Yeah, so welcome to episode 100. Great to have you guys here. Really appreciate it. It's very, very different not being with two people instead of being with probably around 20 people. This is really, really odd. At least I got Darren and Ryan to stare at over here. So that's really good, really good. So Ryan's going to be up here with me today. We got Dr. Titus up here with me today as well. Jeff Centerman's going to be here, a little interview from him. Steve Aaron Photography, going to have him up here to talk about his photography skills. My friend John was supposed to be up here to talk about some of our crazy bushwhacking days that we had, but he did not show up because he's a wuss. Just kidding, John. Love you. Hope you feel good. So funny thing, I wanted to talk about the Sean Mahoney's here. Everybody say hi to Sean. Bunch of people here. God, this is too much. So the intro was actually, I want to talk about the intro that I had because people asked me about it. So one day I was at work, and I just started to hear a song when I was listening to my Bluetooth. And it was a song from a guy from Australia, the solo musician. So I took part of his piece and I recorded it on my own guitar and I gave it to my friend, Chad from CP Meaty. And he revved it up and stuff of that. And then I took some of my interviews and I just pieced them together. And then I had some funny stuff. I had some serious stuff. I had stuff from Rangers. Sean was on there talking about the Catskills. And it came about by just me and my friend Chad throwing stuff back and forth at each other. And it probably took about a good 3 to 4 weeks each day, an hour each day to get that stuff going. So the intro was really, really crazy to come about. That was just one of the things I wanted to talk about. Big thanks also to a bunch of different people. I really appreciate, like, thank the 3500 Club, like thank New York, New Jersey Trail Conference. Like to thank everybody who has donated their time to helping out the Catskills and the trails, because we've gone through some rough times in the past couple of years with the pandemic and stuff like that. It's the community that comes together in the Catskills is an amazing community. Like you see all here, we have everybody here that is just packed, and hopefully we'll get to know each other and we can all be out in the trails once again. I really appreciate it. So I'm going to have my friend Ryan come on here and just to chat with him a little bit about different things that have been going on.
Hey, Stosh, how's it going?
Good to have you here, Ryan.
Yeah, really happy to be here.
Let me make sure this is recording because if this isn't, then that's okay.
That would be helpful.
So I like to go over some recent like rescues and stuff like that. So this weekend, a woman from Houston was located 1,200 foot Big Bend, and they located her 2 weeks after she came off of the mountain. She fell off the mountain, and she was just found on the side of the like a gully somewhere, and it was really, really crazy how she was found alive, though. That's the thing. She
was
found alive in the gully, and it was
good. In Oregon, is this?
Big Bend is New Mexico? I think, yeah, somewhere New Mexico.
Okay.
Down in Big Bend, New Mexico. And she survived on rainwater, and they had to haul her out, a good eight-hour rescue to haul her out of the mountains.
Wow. It's a
good thought to put the beer
Was she
there.
Injured?
She had no injuries. She walked out by herself with the rescuers.
Wow. So she was just stuck.
Crazy stuff that she was stuck. She didn't get injured. I think she slipped. What it looked like is when she came down the mountain, there was a nice little incline in it. Of course, out there is a desert, so you have nothing but traction. So she just slid down the mountain, fell into the gully, probably just kind of freaked out and panicked around and then stayed where she was. No contact with her for 2 weeks, but then she was found later on.
2 weeks? So she didn't eat for 2 weeks?
No food or water or food for 2 weeks. She survived off of rainwater. So it was actually really crazy. And, of course, we know some of us have been hiking the past like week or so. We've had smoke back here once again from the wildfires, but they're not from Canada. They're from down in Virginia on the Blue Ridge Parkway. So
it's coming at us from all sides.
Yeah. It's really crazy how in my 41 years of my life, I've never experienced wildfire smoke coming down into New York State. I don't know
it wasn't a thing until last year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Till last year, the Canadian wildfires.
Right.
And it's just been crazy thought that it's happened, but they had to close part of the Appalachian Trail down on the Blue Ridge Parkway because of this. You know, Dylan, once again, was on that part of the trail months ago.
Right.
And now hopefully some winter southbounders aren't going to be caught in that stuff. But I have a feeling it would be kind of out by then because of the rain and the snow that we have coming in. So You never know. So
you can only hope that in the woods there's a little bit more of a filter going on, right, from the trees. But
exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, the leaves are coming down. It's probably going to burn a little too quick, and then it's just going to burn right out. We haven't had wildfire problems here out in the east many times. If it has, they've been put out in days and stuff like that. So it's definitely been a weird past 3 years hiking and out in the real world.
Yes.
I don't know. It's getting weirder and weirder.
Yep. For sure.
I mean, whole global warming, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It just projects into one odd ball of crap.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's the kind of thing that we're trying to just do something about with our shop here. The reason why we call ourselves an ethical outdoor shop is because we recognize that climate change is an issue and it threatens the places that we love to be, right? The outdoors and the woods. And I feel like everyone that enjoys spending time in the outdoors should put their money where their mouth is and, you know, support businesses and manufacturers that are trying to limit their impact on the environment in some way. So that's what we've done at Camp Catskill. We've tried to work with brands that are doing that, using a lot of recycled polyesters and organic cottons and trying to limit their impact. We're also 1% for the planet members, and so we donate a portion of our revenues, 1% of our revenues, to environmental nonprofits that are working on things here in the Catskills to limit our impact and preserve and conserve the resource that we have here, which is incredible and one of a kind. And some of the oldest forests in the entire world, evidence of them has been found close to the Catskills, if not in the Catskills. So, you know, I think it's just something that we need to be more aware of, need to care more about, and need to continue working on as a global society. So,
yeah, definitely good way to say it out. And do you think here at Camp Catskill, as you go year on year, you're going to be changing because of what's going on
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we'll try to stay current as much as possible and continue to pivot. I mean, I think that as different materials become available, as different ways of manufacturing become available, I want to stay aware of them and continue to evolve and continue to be more active in the sustainability community and learn more about it myself, because I'm not perfect at it. I think that I'm still learning about it. And I think a lot of people are like that. And I don't think you need to be perfect in order to try to do something. I think more of us need to try to do something about it in order for us to move the needle at all.
Correct. Yeah. And we all work together. We all can achieve a lot.
Absolutely.
Just like this community we have here in the Catskills.
For
sure. I gotta admit, the community we have here is a tight, tight community. And this is why I do this stuff, is because the turnout we have today is just absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the community's coming together to support you. And I didn't say it at the beginning, but I want to congratulate you on 100 episodes. I mean, it's really impressive. Well, thank you. And I think what you've been able to do to solidify this community is really impressive. You've pulled it together. So we certainly appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you, man.
Hi.
Can we ask you, as Ryan is a new board member of the Mountaintop Historical Society, and I am the program director, and we would love to have you do a podcast from our train station.
Absolutely. That would be fantastic.
That sounds like a great
idea. If it has power and stuff like that.
Introduce yourself?
Yeah.
I'm Johanna Titus, and program director and board member for the Mountaintop Historical Society, and along with my husband.
Yeah, definitely. I've tried to get a hold of the Mountaintop Historical Society for an interview, but definitely I would love to be involved with the Mountaintop Historical Society, and just their the background of them and their help and efforts in the Catskills has really helped out the Catskills. And we want to get the message of how awesome the Catskills was and is, because will be. But like the history here is just beyond anybody knows. I'm guessing a lot of people don't even know that there were amazing railroads up here. There were the greatest hotels in the world up here. At the time, the richest people came up here. It's the craziest. I mean, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, tourism has been fueling this mountaintop for at least 150 years, if not longer.
Yeah.
And I think it continues to do so, right? And I think learning about that history has been fascinating for me as a brand new board member of the Mountaintop Historical Society. And I continue to, hope to continue to grow with that. But I think that matching hiking and history is a great way to do that, because the land and the ground is what holds the secrets, right? Like, that's the continuity between everything. So the more that we can get people out into the woods and seeing these places that maybe used to be a grand hotel and it's now not much more than a few pieces of stone, but learning about it can really connect people to that history more directly and, make us richer people for it. So, I think it's great to connect the two.
Yeah. I think people, when they learn about the history of the Catskills, they appreciate it more. And then they get more involved with different stuff in the Catskills instead of just hiking in there and leaving. They'll volunteer. They'll shop more. They'll do more exploring. And then they'll buy books from Dr. Titus and stuff to learn about different parts of the Catskills.
And it's not only the history. It's also the culture. We have a great culture with the Hudson River School of Art and all of the places where they came up here to paint.
Yep.
Right, the Thomas Cole National Monument down in Catskill. You got the Olana House out in Hudson. There's so much around here to explore and to learn about, and it's really incredible.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Yeah, please get a hold of me.
And we'll do it.
We'll definitely talk.
You're connected. Thank you, Joanna.
So thank you. I'll have you guys on in a second. So I'd like to thank the monthly supporters, Darren White, Vicky Ferreira, John Comiskey, Jim C., Michael Bongner, David Mead, Matt Smith, and Denise Weiss. Thank you guys for supporting the show.
Yeah.
Also, I'd like to thank Outdoor Chronicles Photography. Molly from Outdoor Chronicles Photography specializes in adventure elopement and adventure couple photography in the Catskills, Adirondack, and the White Mountains. She is also an officiant for getting married and a licensed guide, but she is also a story maker. Molly won't just give you photos, she'll give you memories that will last forever. Don't hesitate to get a hold of Molly on all platforms. Also, if you ever wanted to learn how to hike a backpack, or even just brush up on some of your old skills in the backcountry, check out Trail Bomb Project, a hiking and backpacking school located in New Jersey. Scott and Joe from the New Jersey Search and Rescue Team have amazing backgrounds in wilderness first aid, Wilderness First Responder, and the Mountain Rescue Association, and they are here for you to learn all the new skills of the backpacking country. They teach anything from first aid, map and compass, and many other skills that could help you and others while on the trail. Check them out on their website and all social media platforms. Also, thank you, Sharon Klein, for 3 coffees today. Really appreciate it. So I'm having tonight a Rev Spirits carbonated mead with cherry and vanilla. It's actually pretty good. I really like it, and doesn't have that much carbonation. I don't know. Darren, what are you gonna try to taste this? Give a taste. Darren's going to tell me what he thinks of it. Darren was on a previous episode. What episode were you on? Do you remember?
40-something.
Darren did an awesome. Is it good? Darren says it's good. Darren was on an episode with me that he talked about getting somewhat disoriented and lost in the bushwhacking region, and he had to camp below Rocky Mountain with his son. It was absolutely insane, and I'm just like, how the hell did you do that? These guys survived, and it was a fantastic story. So I'll link you later on in the show notes. Also, no previous hikes. I haven't been on any hikes in a while. So once again, I just had so busy with this shindig that we're doing here and the bunch of awesome people we have here. Once again, volunteer, 3500 Club, Catskill Trail Crew, Catskill Mountain Club, Visitor Centers. Got stickers at Camp Catskill. I got stickers online. Let me know. You can get a hold of me later on. Sarah, what are you doing? Okay. She's got her scenic route guiding on there. We'll talk about scenic route guiding later on. Once again, yeah. Good Lord. This is crazy. This is going a little bit too far, Sarah. Just kidding. So also, come to Camp Catskill if you want some new gear or hiking in the Catskills. Footwear, socks, moisture-wicking shirts, free dried meal, Catskill merchandise, and more. They have everything for your hiking needs. Located in Tannersville and online, check out Camp Catskill. Also, if you're ready to hit the trails, make sure you take Scenic Route. Scenic Route Guiding is here to help you with your goals, big or small. Like Marcy or Slider, Lone of the Sewards, she is also a mountain lion. And if you use the code word mountain lion, you can get 10% off. Right? What word do you use? Mountain lion. She's a mountain lion here tonight. What a weird human being. Also, check out Another Summit, a nonprofit program that leads outdoor adventure activities for veterans and first responders for free. Activities like walking and hiking, or even backpacking or paddling trips. Check out anothersummit.org for more information and dates for future events. So, yeah. So, welcome to the 100th episode of Inside the Line of Catskill. So, I'm going to bring up Dr. Titus here, and we're going to talk about geology in the Catskills really quick. I got a bunch of people here. Joe Frederick's here. Oh, my God. John Fellows. Everybody's here. So go ahead, grab a mic, and just talk freely.
Hi, Sash.
How you doing, sir?
I'm fine.
Good.
You can call me Bob.
Bob, I can't.
You can call
me Dr.
Bob.
It's Dr. Titus.
I know. It's Hare Senior Full Professor Emeritus Dr. Titus, sir, or Bob.
Bob.
Depending on what's easiest.
I'll go with Bob.
Yeah.
Definitely go with Bob. So, once again, you were on episode 12 with me.
12.
Talking
ice
about
age, yeah.
Geological ice age in the Catskills, Hudson Valley Ice Age.
Right.
How many books do you have out right now?
I can't count that high. Yeah. We're working on our fifth.
Fifth book.
Yeah, and it'll be very interesting. The title is going to be The Hudson River Schools of Art and Their Ice Age Origins.
Interesting.
Johanna,
please explain.
And I have written a book about the Hudson River School of Art and how the Ice Age shaped all the landscapes that they painted. And then we went on. Now, here's the original part. We went down into the east shore of the Hudson. We looked at all the great Livingston mansions there. And we found that this is the birthplace of American landscape architecture. We found that the glaciers had shaped the landscapes down there. There used to be a lake at the bottom of the valley called Glacial Lake Albany. And the deposits of that lake form the platforms that all those great houses sit upon.
Nice.
And then
right on the edge, right?
Yeah. And then rivers cutting through those sediments added to the effect of the landscapes. And then we scattered through our book. We're talking about the literature that came out of the Catskills. How you can relate stories like Rip Van Winkle to an Ice Age history.
Yeah.
That'll be out, we hope, in January.
Oh, excellent. And congratulations.
And we want to do a show with you.
Oh, I'm welcome to do a show with you anytime about geology in the Catskills, because mm-hmm. I just love hiking through different areas and, you know, bushwhacking through different areas and finding different random objects that you're just like, how the hell did this get here? Or how the hell did this happen? That's what I always see when I hike through the Catskills. You know,
yep.
We can talk about that all day long. You know, what else did we talked about? We talked about glacial erratics.
We did.
We talked about glacial striations, stuff like that.
Yep. Oh, good. You remember this.
I remember all of this. Wonderful. I've read at least four or five of your books.
Okay. So, I think this is going to be our fifth coming out.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got to admit, I'm not associated with the Hudson Valley. It's more of the Catskills, but I still read the books because it has. So let's. I have a couple questions. What is your favorite spot in the Catskills to visit based on geology?
That's real easy. That's Poet's Ledge at the eastern end of Catterskill Club. I bet you've been there and probably a couple of times at least.
Definitely.
Yeah. The view is absolutely spectacular. You like Poet's Ledge, don't you, Johanna? My wife, Johanna, is easing into the story.
Yes,
here.
Johanna. Titus, welcome, Johanna. Good to see you.
You're back again.
It is.
Yes. You have to be in good physical shape to get up there. We strongly urge you to consider that. But if you can get up there, and if you've never been up there, you must go. What's up there?
It's a beautiful view.
You know, it's a spectacular view looking west uphill. Through the valley of the Catterskill Clove. And you know what thrills the two of us? And again, it's the sort of thing we're doing in our book. Sanford Robertson Gifford, one of the greatest of the Hudson River School of Art artists, he climbed up there in the 1860s and he painted an absolutely magnificent view of the whole clove. If you run a search on Sanford Robertson Gifford, Catterskill Clove, you'll probably get to see an image of that on your computer.
I gotta write this down and put it on.
Sanford, you're doing well. Robinson, Gifford, view of Catterskill Clove.
Awesome, got it.
But you know, we see things that he didn't see. When Johanna and I are standing up there, we look down into the valley below us, and we watch a glacier,
right,
come up the canyon of Catterskill Clove. If you didn't know this is something you should know. A glacier went up the clove all the way to the top, and it continued on to Lexington, the town of Lexington, and then it melted away. Well, on its way up the canyon, it carved most of the ledges that you'll see when you're hiking on the Rim Trail. When the glacier retreated, all that meltwater that is formed when the glacier melts, it carved the canyon. We stand there at the Poet's Ledge, and we look down, and we see raging, foaming, pounding, right? Thundering Ice Age torrents cascading down the canyon.
Massive waterfalls, stuff like that, were just starting to form everything in that region.
Creating.
You're saying that the glacier came from the north and then started moving west.
That's right.
Very rare, of course, in the Catskills, right?
Well, no, it's not. The glaciers are steered by the landscape, and then curiously, the glaciers create the landscape that steers them.
Yep.
It's a funny thing. It sounds strange to say a glacier went west, but it just flowed uphill.
Okay.
It was pushed from behind.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, I got to admit, that is a fantastic spot. Once again, you said it is a haul. It's not too bad because, you know, it's the trail is very nice, but it's a nice upward battle the whole way up, and then you finally get there, and you're just like, all right, this is good. You can continue up the Catterskill Clove, follow a long path, go along the amazing Hyler Ravine, Santa Cruz Ravine. What was the other one? Buttermilk? Wildcat Ravine.
She gets that
awesome
one.
Ravines that, once again, were shaped by glaciers and water and massive flows. Still going today. They're not done. We know that.
Yeah, we're not done. And our book is going to be imagining what it was like back then. We have a scene written at the top of Poet's Ledge, and we view into the past just when the melting was reaching its peak.
Wow.
And it was a pretty exciting moment in the history.
I couldn't only imagine being on top of, you know, one of the peaks and just watching the glaciers. Looking down, glaciers are one of my most favorite, fascinating subjects that I like to imagine, like you said.
We are glad to hear that.
Because, you know, I've been up to Canadian Rockies, stuff like that, seeing the Athabasca Glacier, being on the Pedo Glacier. Just, it makes you wonder, what was this like 10,000 years ago when it was all over everything? And just like here, we wouldn't be sitting here 10,000, 12,000 years ago. There would be a glacier.
It'd be hard.
Yeah.
It'd be,
right, yeah. Couple thousand feet of ice.
Yep,
and it would be flowing very slowly, but it'd be sculpting this landscape.
Sculpting.
And that's what I like to, like when I'm reading your books, it's kind of like you're reading like a fantasy book or something like that, because you picture all this. You're like, okay, I'm standing on North Mountain. I'm standing on that. What did it look like when this glacier was flowing through here? Like, what did it look like? Well, how does it feel without that lake sitting there, but with a...
You can do that. You can use your imagination and you can be there.
Exactly. And just imagine just getting people involved with that, getting people involved and maybe thinking about what this looked like 10,000, 12,000, 17,000 years ago. It's just...
And making it part of the Catskills culture.
Right.
And it's such an important part of the culture. And how many people know that?
Yep.
Well, we have columns every week in the Mountain Eagle newspaper on page D1. That's our page.
Yeah.
And so if your listeners are interested in what we've had to say, run out and get a copy of the Mountain Eagle, first chance you get.
Mountain Eagle, you have something different every week, right? Is it
every week?
Every week is something different. And I remember one time you talked about something that I gave you guys about. It's because I was rock climbing on the Indian Head, and I saw that little geological weird feature that I thought was like a raise in the thing, a raise in the mountain that looked like a circle.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. That was
it. It was a kind of optical illusion, I was going to say.
Oh, pareidolia. It was it was an illusion.
Yeah.
It's a very
And I was just like, I got to ask Dr. Titus about this, because this is weird.
Senior full professor.
Bob, I got to ask Bob about this. So it was really awesome stuff. And once again, Dr. Titus, Bob, has a bunch of books. Hudson Valley and the Ice Age. What else you got?
The Catskills and the Ice Age. The Catskills, a Geologic Guide. And we have an anthology of articles.
And you're doing the same thing everyone else does.
What's that?
I'm the co-author on all
co-author
those books.
Co-author right here.
Oh, thank
Let's
you.
Not forget Johanna is the co-author right here.
She's been very helpful.
I could only imagine. I'm my wife has been very helpful. She's right over there looking at me and making sure I'm doing good. But she has been very helpful. So I can only imagine with writing books about the Catskills, how helpful it is to have a second hand.
It's good for a marriage.
Yeah. I'm surprised that because like sometimes it can't. You guys got to go back and forth with the different topics, and just it's a good balance though, because
I do most of the writing, but Johanna comes up with the best ideas.
Right. Yeah, that's what you know.
And we email each other.
You email each other?
Yeah.
That way we won't have to fight about something.
She'll write, I write,
love it.
And we email it to each other, and then we...
And you're across the other side of the room, you're like, that is so horrible, and then you write like some passive-aggressive email back.
Something like
this
that,
is like
yeah.
A,
yeah.
I mean, I know it's not your, it's for fun and a job, but that sounds like a job. You're like, oh no, he didn't say that. Nice, I like it. Well, Dr. Titus, thank you very much for being on the show today. Thank you for coming.
It.
Oh my God, 100 episodes. Really appreciate you guys coming. Please get back safe. Get a hold of me in the future, and we'll have some future talks.
Good luck with your continuing work.
Thank you very much. Greatly appreciate it. Dr. Titus, Bob Titus, and Johanna Titus, thank you guys. Check out his books. Phenomenal books. Once again, you can hear the awesome chatter that's going on. It just brings a massive smile to my face. So if someone could get a hold of Steve Aaron, he can't even hear me, so... Actually, can you get a hold of him? Steve, what the hell is this? Joe Frederick is down here. Come on, just sit over here for a second, Joe. We got to talk about some heavy metal stuff.
Heavy metal.
The Black Skyline. So, Joe, God, what episode? Do you remember what episode you were? It's all blurring together.
Absolutely not.
Okay, at least I'm not the only one, but Joe Frederick is here. He talked about how hiking in the Catskills, hiking that has balanced his life, has made his life a little bit better from COPD. And it was a hit episode, buddy. I got to admit, it was a fantastic. You see that spike right there?
That was you. No way.
So, I know.
No way.
It was a fantastic.
I'm embarrassed.
You're not embarrassed.
It was so bad. I'm like, yo, I'm butchering words, and
I thought I was terrible.
Not at all.
I listened to it. I was cringing the whole time, man.
The whole point of that was to get your passion about the Catskills, the passion about hiking. And everybody knows your passion. If you're on social media, you could see Joe's passion for the Catskills and for hiking was absolutely phenomenal. Still, I'm still looking for it right here. Why can't I find it? It was recent, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe 90-something.
90... 91. Episode 91. So check that one out. Joe has been hiking the Catskills, and he's a freaking flyer in the Catskills. You fly around. What do you usually do in the Burroughs Range? What's your times?
I yo-yo when I did the yo-yo. Woodland to Oliveira and back. 6 hours. 6.5 hours.
Not bad. Dude, I'm jealous. My knees can't handle that shit.
I just closed out November right before I came here. On the Blackhead Range.
Doing the grid?
Barnum, yeah. November's done. Barnum to Barnum, I did. 4.5 hours.
Congratulations, buddy. Yeah,
it's cool.
Do you do that quick because you have a time limit or no? You just like to fly?
I just I walk parts of it, the parts I like, the parts I want to see. I'll hang out and chill out. But like, you know, when you go through Burnt Knob and you have that like kickback and go over the rock and then it's,
yep,
like switchbacks again on the backside there. You just fly through there, dude. Oh, and yeah, then you get another nice jump down and you hit the coal and shoot right back up. It's really fun in there, man. And, you know, how many times can you look at just the same old trees and whatnot?
Right? It's you know, a lot of people get, like, hiking and they get somewhat bored. And I've never found myself bored hiking in the Catskills because I'm just like, oh, I didn't notice that line of birches right there. Or this conifer trees right here. This is pretty interesting. And then people like you and me and Darren over here will go off trail and explore that stuff. And we'll just be like, ooh, this looks pretty cool. I see a big glacial erratic down there. Let me go check that out.
That's what I did last night.
See?
In the dark. Oh. I did a Catterskill, and then I bushwhacked over the Round Top and dropped off all the ledges in the pitch black.
So you dropped south off of Round Top?
Yeah, I just walked off, and then I went off the south side. I was going to bushwhack up the north side ledges, but I was I wanted to get up to Hurricane Ledge because the moon was setting behind the Devil's Path, and it was going yellow. When I was driving in, it was bright, bright white. When I was coming up the trail, I could see it getting yellow, so I'm like, oh, no, it's going to go behind. So I'm like, screw bushwhacking up and going over. Let me get to the ledge first.
Yeah.
So I, like, boogied through the dark to the top over there and got to see a really, really cool thing. It was nice. It's good shit.
Yeah. Good shit in the Catskills. Like, see, I have no filter. I love when people have filters and they say, you have no filter. I mean, Joe and I stay connected through social media, basically about metal and funny reels online that we always like to share to each other.
Yeah.
But Joe and
Someone appropriate.
Yeah. Joe and I have a passion for metal music, and not many people like our kind of music we like.
No, you'd be surprised. There are others. There are others. That
there are others out there.
And I've spread a couple of bands here and there, but like I definitely changed. Like last month or like the summer was like all metal. You just going whatever I could do. Lamb of God, Decapitated, Silosis, you know, stuff like that. I'm just like blaring out, go. November's been like, I don't know, like indie music.
Interesting, Joe.
Yeah, Rah Rah Riot and like Death Cab for Cutie. I'm like, okay, this is my November soundtrack.
Wow.
You know, dude, I run the Blink-182 at times.
Yeah, I gotta admit, Dude Ranch is a really good album.
It's just quick drum beat and you run to that pace.
So you listen to music while running?
Oh, well, yeah.
Okay. Is that how you get your kind of rhythm sometimes?
Yeah, especially on the road. You know, when I'm like road running, I definitely use like the beat of the song to like try and keep my cadence.
Yeah.
You know? When you're going up mountains, your cadence just goes to shit because you gotta climb up a mountain. You can't keep like, you know.
You can't keep a blast beat going up a mountain.
Exactly.
If you can, then you're freaking not human.
Balsam, I could do it. I could do blast beats up Balsam.
Nice.
Balsam Lake Mountain, not Balsam.
Nice.
I could do it at Balsam too.
Nice. I hope so. So,
but yeah. You know. Anyways, yeah. I was in the neighborhood. I said, let me stop in on this live event. Congratulations on 100 episodes.
You.
It's awesome, man.
Thank you for coming on. You know, I waited a long time to have you come on, but I'm glad I had you on, and hopefully it influences people to use the outdoors kind of like to help themselves better? Because a lot of people don't realize, you know, especially down in the city, the older generation, stuff like that, they just want to stay at home. But if you get your outside in this clean, fresh air in the Catskills, in any mountains or any backyard, your life can change dramatically. Oh,
yeah. Activity as well, man. Like, you don't even have to travel. Just be active. Active. It takes away. Like I said, you're not thinking about your bills and stuff. You're thinking about, like, okay, I'm going to run another mile of stuff and stay focused on what I'm doing, or, like, weightlifting or whatever it is. Just be active instead of a slug on a couch.
Right. And that's the thing, you know. Basically, when I'm hiking up in the Catskills, I look and I'm just like, man, I wonder what this view is going to look like. Like, how awesome is this view going to be? Blah, blah, blah. Stuff like that. And it gets you, your brain off of all the other crap that we have, that we got going on. Work, whether it's work, people complaining, stuff like that. People on their phones, stuff like that.
That's not a person. That is a cat.
That is a cat.
There you go.
Don't. What? Yeah, exactly. You are something else. Joe. Thank you for joining me. I'm trying to get, like, people riled up to see who's going to come on here next. But
get Posner, because he was out there walking around barefoot on the window.
I know. Freaking, he's sitting here, comes in here, and I go, yeah, if you get Steve. He came in. He actually came in, and my wife started talking to him. I'm like, did you notice anything? She's like, no. I'm just like, look down. She's like, what? Ah. I'm like, yeah, he's barefoot. He does this all the time. He's
I was like, well, that's, I stopped him on trail. Yeah, him and Steve were out hiking. Hey. Yeah.
Well, excellent. Thank you, Joe, for joining me.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Again, congratulations on 100.
Thank you for being one of the best episodes that we've had, man. All right. Steve is coming out now. Steve Aaron. Steve, how you doing, sir? It's been a while.
This is heavy.
It is heavy. It's one of the best.
It is, yeah. Nice microphone, yeah.
It is a good microphone. I was going to use my other one, if you remember my other one that's like hanging, but that didn't work out.
Okay.
So it catches up too much crap.
Yeah.
So I have Steve here, right here. Steve Aaron. He is a photographer in the Catskills. We have his calendar up here for a raffle. This is going to come out later, so that's not going to really care for anybody that's doing the raffle.
I could have brought one in to show while we're talking. I didn't know.
That's true.
I have a few in the car.
I don't have this live, though. This is live, but... So Steve does photography in the Catskills, Hudson Valley, stuff like that. He was also on episode four. Episode freaking four. It would have been, it's actually 4.2 or 4.1.
Yeah.
Because we had trouble once again. That was episode four. So I was having difficulties with all the crap. And I had a program that I used called Squadcast, and it didn't record us. And it was like, we had like a 2-hour conversation.
We
of
did.
The Borscht Belt.
It flowed too.
I was
just talking to Jessica about that. And she's like, what? Yeah, how was it? You know, you're being on the podcast. I'm like, the first time we did it, everything flowed. It was chill. It was really good. And the second time, the one that made the show was certainly fine. It was almost as good. But the first one was,
it was
perfect.
So chill. And we were both kind of, I was on the edge of my seat listening to your stuff about the Borscht Belt. So, if you know, once again, episode four, he talks about his time in the Borscht Belt as a photographer, basically, correct?
Yeah, I did work at the Neville Resort as a photographer when I was in high school. I grew up in Ellenville, New York, which is a quintessential Borscht Belt town. So,
yes. The Neville is a fantastic place. Was it more of the higher-end resorts, or was that?
Yeah, it was. It was higher-end, and it was big, and it was pretty awesome back in the day.
And being a photographer there, you know, how old were you when you started that?
I was a high school senior.
Wow.
So, you know, walking around the dining room, taking pictures of people. And then the next morning, you get up and you get the prints and you put them in these little peepers or in little wallets with mirrors in them and stuff. You set it up and then you go sell them in front of the dining room for breakfast and lunch. It was kind of funny.
I hate to ask this question because a lot of people don't like to reveal their age. What was what year was this when you were doing this?
This was 77.
77. So it was towards the end of the Borscht Belt kind of era?
Yeah.
It wasn't kind of, what does it call it, Gilded Age?
Yeah, it was getting towards the end of it. It kind of petered out in the early 80s or mid 80s.
But still.
So I worked in, during my college years, I worked in similar resorts, one right next door to the Neville. It was a bellhop and a chauffeur and stuff like that. My college years, and it was really sort of dying out, but there were still the traditional guests at that time.
Of course. Yeah. Fantastic time. The Borscht Belt era is one of my favorite things to read about just because of how massive it grew And then I know it sounds bad, but like kind of like the destruction and the death of it happened so quickly due to like little things, improvements, kind of like air conditioning, people flying, stuff like that. It's just so odd. People flocked, fled to the Catskills. Like Steve would talk about, I remember you said there were lines of cars waiting to get into these hotels. And it was just so crazy of how it was an amazing time. And Steve was part of it. And he talks about that in episode 4. And so is that, I'm guessing that got you into photography, basically.
Yeah, I took a photography class in high school. My dad was into photography. I took the class in high school. So between the high school class, my father, and then working on the yearbook, I was doing a whole lot of black and white photography then. Worked at the Nevely because I knew how to work a camera. And then went to college and sort of let it go. And then when digital cameras came out, I picked one up and got back into it and just started carrying a camera with me out in the woods when I was hiking. And one thing led to another. Social media appeared around the same time. So there was a vehicle to display my pictures and share them with many. So it all worked out. It was kind of cool.
And it's mostly the Catskills, but a lot of the Gunks too. How do you say that again? The everybody says it differently.
Yeah, I say Schwangunks.
Schwangunks, and a lot of people say Schwangunks or something like that.
Some people, if you live on the other side of the ridge, they call us Shangum.
Shangum.
I don't know where they get that from. But Gunks is pretty easy.
Yeah,
but, you got to love. Ellenville, my hometown, was in the valley between the Gunks and the Catskill foothills. Really.
Mm. Yeah, definitely, and the stuff that I've seen you do is a lot of awesome sunset and sunrise photos and stuff like that. It's just absolutely phenomenal. What motivates you to go out and do that, especially with this day and age when it's freaking getting to 350 right now and we're starting to see the sunset?
Well, you know, for landscape photography, those early morning or late afternoon or late evening, you know, as the sun is rising or setting, those are the best hours to get the best light. So most landscape photographers will be out during what they call the golden hour, right before sunset, or right after sunrise, or you know, a little bit before and after. So the light's always good, but I do a lot of just broad daylight photography too, because life is what it is, and I'm out there hiking in the middle of the day, and you do the best with that bright sunlight shining down from overhead, and they filter on the camera and they adjust it a little bit, and it comes out good.
It comes out freaking phenomenal. Now, you were recently displayed somewhere for the Long Path, correct?
I worked with Ken Posner of the New York New Jersey Trail Conference, and we put together this photo exhibit, Discovering the Long Path. And the exhibit's been on display at various venues throughout the Hudson Valley for the last several years. Took a break during COVID, of course. So this past year, we were in Beacon, New York, at an art gallery in Beacon. We're going to be in New Paltz next year. And we're looking for other venues to display the exhibit. Basically, it grew out of Ken's desire to promote the Long Path and raise awareness of the Long Path, which is one of the signature trails in New York State and a pet project at the Trail Conference. And we connected, and I said, yeah, I'd be happy to do that. Knowing of the Long Path for years since, you know, being a teenage hiker, it's really happy to do that. So we raised some funds. I went out, took a lot of pictures, got them printed, and there's a nice exhibit. It's about 30 images of various mediums, and we show it from time to time.
Nice, and that's fantastic. Long Path is one of the few that travels over, like 200 miles? We only have two. It's Finger Lakes Trail and the Long Path, correct?
Yeah, Long Path is about 350, 345, I think.
And then the Finger Lakes Trail is over 300-400 miles.
Long. Yeah, that might even be longer.
Yeah, I thought it was like 500, but that's one of only two Long Path trails we have here. But, you know, you experience everything on the Long Path, going from the George Washington Bridge all the way up to Albany, right?
Is that to Thatcher Park.
Thatcher's upstate.
Right, so
it's supposed to extend longer, correct, now?
They're working on extending it, but officially it's New York City at the George Washington Bridge up to Thatcher. So it goes through the Palisades, it goes through Harriman Park, it goes through the Walk Hill Valley to the Gunks, goes up the length of the Gunks, co-aligned with the Schwangunk Ridge Trail. And then it hops over into the Catskills for its journey north up towards Albany and Thatcher Park.
Nice.
And it's pretty intense.
You've been? Have you been on all the long path, or is it like visit? You visit as parts of it, of course.
I've been on much of it.
Okay, so what is your favorite part of it?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a good question. There's a couple spots that are really near and dear, and I've always used the Long Path as sort of a piece of a day hike. And there's a little spot where the Long Path, if you're going northbound, just enters the Catskills. After it comes off the Gunks, it crosses around that valley, goes up. It's a little bit on the road, so it's not a great hike, but it's a great little waterfalls on the Vernoyk Hill in Rewarsing, New York. And as a high school kid, we used to go swimming there and cut class. It was a great swimming hole. And a place to hang out. But now as an adult, and from the perspective of the Long Path, to me, that's the welcome to the Catskills waterfall. You know, the bedrock, the geology is typical Catskills, the waterfalls, Catskill. So after hiking in the Gunks, where things are very different, you get to the Catskills, and it is definitely the welcome to the Catskills waterfall.
Awesome. I love it. And we can find your photography online, Steve Aaron Photography or Steve Aaron Photo?
For now, mostly on Facebook, Steve Aaron. I'm on Instagram, Steve Aaron Photo. Working on getting a website relaunched, so that's coming soon.
You have calendars every year?
Every year.
Yeah. Every year, every different photos every year?
Yep, Catskill Gunks, and all the pictures are aligned with the month. The photo is taken in the month that it represents on the calendar.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, the picture is true to the month. So.
Oh, wow. Nice. I didn't know that. You didn't tell me that one. Sweet.
Yeah, it's always tough to get a good April picture around here, you know?
Yeah, because of the rain.
This year I nailed it, though.
And then sometimes we have horrible Januaries where if it's ice and snow, but then you can get good waterfall photos. Yeah, it's always good stuff. So, once again, thank you for donating, Steve, and thank you for being on the show. Episode freaking 4. I just can't believe that.
Episode 4 and 4.1.
Yeah, 4 and 4.1. God, yeah, what an embarrassment that was. I was sweating. I was just like, how do I tell him we're going to have to record again?
Yeah, it was all right. I was a little nervous before the first one. I never did this before, and the whole thing flowed, and it was awesome.
That's the thing. Everybody is uptight in the beginning, and then you could just see that they're just like, oh my God, that flowed really well. Like, I can't believe how easy that was. I'm like, I'm a normal person.
Yeah, normal person. You do a heck of a job interviewing people.
I just like to have fun. That's it. And I like to talk about this beautiful place called the Catskills.
Well, you're quite skilled at it. You've got a gift, and you're putting it to good use.
That's all BS.
100 episodes is awesome.
He's always lying. Steve is always lying to me.
No. I'm a big fan. I haven't heard all 100 episodes, but most of them. Usually on my drive up to the Catskills, gets me in the right head.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you for being on the
Thanks,
show tonight,
Josh.
Episode 4. Let's get back again for your photography kind of adventures that you've taken on in the Catskills and stuff like that, because I guarantee you have amazing like chats to talk about where you get these photos.
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay. Awesome. Good to see you.
Congrats, man. Thank you.
Thank you. Can you go grab Michael Bongner? Yep. Thank you so much. Well, once again, Steve Aaron, really appreciate it. He was on episode 4. Check it out. Awesome episode, basically, about different stuff in the Catskills. The Borscht Belt in the Catskills was fantastic. I got now Mike Bongner coming on, 3500 Club president here, is going to chat about the 3500 Club. Welcome on here, Michael. Good to see you.
Hey, Stosh.
One sec.
Joe, can you do me a big favor? In that gray bag is some cider, some hard cider. Can you grab me one? If you want one as well, you can have one. If anybody... Ooh.
Is that your hard cider from the Finger Lakes you were talking about?
From Sydney. This is from Sydney. I do have that in there, though. This is from Sydney, New York. Hold on. I'm going to crack this open. I got to have something in me to do these interviews sometimes, especially this stressful situation. My God. I don't know how people do this. My guys in Slasher, Stomp and Mike, thank you once again for helping me out with this stuff. Stomp, you have been a fantastic. Hopefully you listen to this. You've been a fantastic help with getting me with my 100 episodes. So right now we have Michael Bongner on here, 3500 Club president. So we're going to talk about, of course, the 3500 Club, what they got stored for the future, what can we do to help, and how it is to be a president of one of the fast-growing hiking clubs and one of the most traditional hiking clubs in the United States.
That's one question I wish you hadn't asked me. Oh, it's fantastic. I'm having the time of my life. Such great people, great members, you know, and as you know, the club is here to foster interest in hiking and provide ongoing education in outdoor skills and engage in public service, including stewardship and responsible conservation for the Catskills.
And that is the title, straight up, 1, 2, 3, like that. So, once again, the biggest part right there is education. Right now, we have it ever-growing. It's still growing. It's a little bit slower than it was 2-3 years ago, but it's still growing. And we need education any way possible.
Yeah, it's plateaued, but it's still on the upswing. I saw a graph of usage.
Yep.
And you know, Rome wasn't built in a day.
Yeah.
All of us hikers are ambassadors, and it's really fun to meet someone on the trail, talk to them, and not be too preachy.
Yep.
I'm careful about that because I could tend to go that way. I was just over at, in fact, your first episode, you talked intro hikes to the Catskills. You talked about Scudder Road. Am I pronouncing it right?
Scut Road.
Yep. Right. And I went to see something today I hadn't seen in 45 years.
What's that?
Catterskill Falls.
No way. Awesome. How busy was it? Was it crazy?
It was fairly busy, but as soon as we got on the escarpment trail with the views of the Clove, it wasn't very busy. Of course, going to the falls, and I'm there picking up coffee cups.
Yeah,
But the trails are beautiful there. There's some nice crib work. And
you know, I plan on working with the DEC next year to maybe get this happening in front of people so they can, you know, see that there's a podcast about this. They can see that, you know, there's educational purposes in the Catskills that we can all learn from. 3500 Club, you know, the podcast, bunch of different organizations that can help you with your quest in the Catskills, help you with your journeys in the Catskills. And 3500 Club is definitely the biggest club and organization that we have in the Catskills and the most kind of beneficiary, because a lot of people do this quest of the 3500 Club, they complete, and then they have a passion for the Catskills, and then they involve themselves in the Catskills. And that's why we have the club to give all this information and education out. It's not just to get a patch. I mean, Michael can tell you about that. I was the second vice president of the Catskill 3500 Club, and I found out that it's not just about a patch.
Remember, as you know, Stosh, we're an all-volunteer organization.
100%.
And they're really, like I say, there are 7 things that we do. We lead hikes. Now, the 46ers don't lead hikes.
Nope. They bash on the 46ers.
But they do some great maintaining.
They do.
The trail of speaks.
But they don't lead hikes.
Say that?
I said they don't lead hikes.
Right. I know, which is a surprise to me when I thought about it. And then we have, Jack Walker, Catskill Canister. Yep.
Let's also thank Yana. Yana, yep, as well.
Who you introduced to me. Yeah.
Did well. Good job.
We have our trailhead stewards.
One of the biggest impacts that we've had in the Catskills in the past year.
Colleen and Lourdes. Trail maintenance, again, Lourdes. Highway cleanup. Our conservation committee. And not to mention your very own search and rescue.
Correct.
CMSAR, Catskill, yep, Mountain Search and Rescue. So there are lots of ways for people to volunteer. I think there's some people, they get their patch and then they sort of disappear. But there are plenty of people that say, yeah, this is a great group of people and I want to stick around. I'm having a good time.
Correct.
That's what happened to me. My entry was to go to a winter weekend even before I was a member. And so I want to talk about winter weekend as January 19, 20, and 21.
Nice.
At the Frost Valley this year.
Oh, that's at Frost Valley this year.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, nice. Because it was at the Slide Mountain Inn the past several years. Yeah, yeah.
And we're going to have a dinner, which anyone can attend. It's on our website, Catskill3500club.org. And then the annual dinner is scheduled back at Ashokan. It's July 27th this year, 2024.
Awesome. July 27th. This is the second. Guys, I made it. That's the day after my birthday. I might be in New Hampshire at that time.
Oh, I don't.
I might.
I think we'll have to change the date.
No, not at all. Don't do it. Excellent.
And then the great Wilderness First Aid course that you guys from Search and Rescue do.
Yep.
I highly recommend it.
Correct. And once again, volunteer opportunities are I wouldn't say endless in the Catskills, but they are.
They're endless.
They're endless. We have so many openings. You can actually, like, not even volunteer. You can pair with someone that you know who volunteers and help them out. Because I got to admit, going up, my maintenance is from Thomas Colt to Camel's Hump. And I got to admit, that is a pain in the ass. If you've ever been up there when I haven't done my maintenance, going from Camel's Hump to halfway through Thomas Cole is some of the thickest pricker bushes you have ever dealt with. And hauling that stuff up 1,800 feet for 2.3 miles is a pain in the ass. So having a friend there to help is fantastic. But the satisfaction that I get after doing that and turning around and seeing what I've done for people is just beyond what I can think. It's just phenomenal.
I love Camel's Hump. That is a cool terrain there.
Interesting, beautiful terrain. One of the best spots in the Catskills, right between the call of Camel's Hump and Thomas Cole. Just that little meadow area is just absolutely fantastic. Yeah, I don't know what to say. But once again, opportunities here with even the 3500 Club. Who thinks it's just a patch? It's not just a patch. There's several more that you can do with the 3500 Club. You can lead hikes. You could just volunteer for the club. You have Trailhead Stewards, which is a fantastic organization. Vicky was on here previously talking about that. Loris was on here talking about that. Great success in the 3500 Club.
And we've made a big transition to become a 501c3. So we're a nonprofit, and that's a change. And it's been going on 2 years now. So we're easing into that.
And it's good.
But you can get tax deductions if you donate.
So donate to the club. You know, it's, once again, it's not just about the patch. It's a whole lot more. You get the patch, and then you realize that you have much more for the mountains, much more passion for the mountains. And then you can do more for the mountains to give back, because what else? What else can you do for the mountains besides giving back to them?
You can plan the annual dinner. Please, someone.
I can't plan that. I would have, like, I'm trying to think. Just the only thing I could plan is alcohol. That's the only thing.
Well, that's part
and entertainment,
of it.
Maybe. I'd be able to maybe do some music or something like that, right. But it would only be Creed. That's the only thing I do is Creed.
We got Bicknell's Thrush.
Yes.
IPA there this year.
Ooh, nice, nice. Westkill from Westkill Brewing. Everybody knows Westkill, of course. Yeah. That's probably 95 in the recommendations that I have on here. So anything else you want to add there, Michael?
I want to say just keep on keeping on. Keep up the good work, Stosh. Thank you so much. I've enjoyed all your podcasts, and thanks for your support of the 3500 Club.
No problem.
Our website, Catskill3500club.org. You really have portals to get in touch with any of us. Anyone wants to get in touch with me anytime, please do. I'll get back to you, and I'd love to know what everyone's thinking.
And Michael is very, very good involved with people. He is very good with people. So get a hold of Michael. Get a hold of anybody on the 3500 Club if you want to participate in volunteer organizations or just participate in anything Catskills related. They will hook you up, definitely. So once again, Michael, thank you for joining me on the show.
Appreciate it.
Really appreciate it. Good luck with the 3500 Club, sir. Could you get me Jeff Centerman? Is he out there? Jeff Centerman, are you out there, buddy? Oh, is that Rich? Rich is here. Oh, Jeff heard me. He actually heard me. I didn't think people heard me from back there, buddy. People are having such a good time. I didn't think they heard me.
I didn't.
How did you? Then who told you?
Michael told me. So,
how you doing, Jeff?
I'm well. How are you?
So we got Jeff Centerman here from the Catskill Center. I'm doing great. It's a good turnout. Fantastic turnout.
I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Jeff was here on episode 81 talking about the Catskill Center, who has done a fantastic amount of dedication to the Catskills. And Jeff here has done an amazing dedication for the Catskills, not just only in the Catskills, but up and also Albany, preaching for what we need here in the Catskills, helping out, getting us the funds that we need for the Catskills, because it's ever growing.
Absolutely. You know, I think we there's so much that we can all do for the Catskills. And it's not just me doing all this. You know, here at the Catskill Center, we have a great staff that's also supporting me. So I definitely want to give them all a shout out for all they do. But a lot of my work personally is up in Albany, and it's asking for the resources. You know, we all know that trails are out of shape, parking lots need fixing, bridges wash out, whatever it might be. Like, there's people think that kind of trails and recreation just happens, but there's a whole lot of resources, money, people power that goes into that. And so, you know, a good deal of my job is kind of being the cheerleader for the Catskills, either here in the Catskills or up in Albany, and just talking about how, you know, what to the rest of the state doesn't seem like a lot of money actually makes a huge difference for us here in the Catskills. We're getting $8 million a year now, thanks to advocacy efforts. And that $8 million, you know, in a city, $8 million might buy you a parking lot if you're lucky. Here in the Catskills, we can kind of revitalize entire swaths of trails and recreational facilities and communities and all kinds of things. So it's a great opportunity, and it's great to see the results of our hard work paying off in these improvements.
Awesome. It sounds fantastic, and it's got to be exhausting. That sounds exhausting. I got to admit.
It does add up over time. You know, we're going into the busy advocacy and budget season now. So more or less from the end of the year through the end of April is budget time and legislation time. So whereas a lot of other folks think of the winter as the quiet season, for me and kind of my level of workload at the Catskill Center, it's one of my busiest personal seasons, because it's kind of endless meetings with legislators, meeting with the governor's people, getting out on field trips to show people things, all kinds of stuff. And yes, I definitely am tired, and I drink a lot of coffee over the next few months. But
Jesus, wow. I'm not used to this. Leave me alone.
You're almost breaking the place.
Almost breaking the place. But once again, an exhausting time for you, because, of course, we're only – I kind of think we plateaued, but still – just having that amount of rise in the past 3 years has got to be crazy, coming from, you know, being up at Albany for the Capitol, being for the New York State sponsoring the Catskills. It's got to be a difficult task within the past 3 years. You got to be telling people, hey, you know, we need the money. We need the help. We're getting more flow. Please give us some stuff. Like,
yeah, it's one thing to get the wins, and then it's another whole set of work to keep those wins.
Yeah.
So, you know, when it comes to advocacy for the Catskills and the Forest Preserve, every year that we have a success, that just means the next year we have to work really hard to protect that success and hopefully incrementally improve upon that success. But even just protecting $8 million, this year was the second year we've been able to get $8 million for the Catskills in the budget.
Awesome.
And so, you know, this year we're obviously asking for more, because that's part of the you know, advocacy effort, is aim higher and protect what we've got. But same with, like, money for the Visitor Center, money for the Catskill Science Collaborative, money for Bel Air, money for
invasive species.
Cornell has a bio lab that they're raising insects that fight the hemlock woolly adelgid without causing other problems. So all of these things cost money, and all of these things are identified in the budget. And like you said, a good part of what I'm doing for the next several months is just educating people about that. You know, sometimes it's as simple as answering the question, where are the Catskills? That thankfully doesn't happen very often anymore after doing it for so many years. But there's still, you know, some folks that you've got to start that at that level in Albany and work up from there. There's other folks, our two environmental conservation chairs in the Senate and the Assembly are both lovers of the Catskills. And so it's a really easy conversation to have there, but other folks need a little more help to understand why we're so special.
Yep. And I remember, what's that called? Catskill Park Day, right?
Yes.
Up in Albany. I remember being a part of that, and it was difficult for some people, like, to walk in and be like, what is the Catskill? Where are they? And you're just like, really? You drove probably past here when you came up, but they don't know that. And it sucks.
Very true. That's why we produce a very nice map to go with each group when we're visiting with folks.
Correct. So volunteering with the Catskill Center, how can we do that as a public?
Yes. So there's a couple different opportunities that we offer for volunteering at the Catskill Center. I think the most glorious and the one I would be the most excited about is getting to volunteer at the fire towers. And so, we have the 5 fire towers located on mountains throughout the Catskills. We hold the management agreement with the state to run the volunteer program there. So you can get a hold of us and we can get you on. I'll admit many of them have waiting lists because they are popular volunteer opportunities. But it's really cool because you get to go spend a weekend on the tower. You're meeting and greeting the public. You get to stay for the towers that have the cabins on the ground. You get to spend the night in the cabin.
Oh,
really, really cool. Yeah.
Nice.
Not many other ways to wake up for sunrise out your front door on Hunter Mountain other than volunteering at
Hunter
the fire
Mountain,
tower.
Balsam Lake, Red Hill, yeah, whatever.
Exactly.
God, amazing. I didn't know about that. Awesome.
Yeah, so that's one opportunity. We have volunteer opportunities related to invasive species. So we have folks that are running activities and events all across the Catskills for aquatic invasives, for terrestrial invasives, for insects, all kinds of things. So that's another opportunity. And then you can also volunteer at the Catskills Visitor Center. We're always looking for folks to help us meet and greet the public there. So if maybe climbing the mountain to the fire tower or going out and battling Japanese knotweed or something isn't your cup of tea, like, to have a day at the visitor center to just spread your knowledge and love of the Catskills to people that are coming to visit.
And what we need that. We definitely need that. We need to spread the knowledge. Education is key. I've always said that, and that's why I did this podcast, is because education is key. And then we have Jeff here. We have Mo, Ryan. Everybody here is to help connect our community as one.
Absolutely. Like, it is so intrinsically basic to provide education to people, because people don't, as much as you and I may know something about hiking or something about the outdoors, that's only because we've been blessed to have those opportunities to do that and to know that. Whereas, if someone had a different experience than you and I, they might not have ever had that opportunity to gain that experience. And so they're going to do what they know. And if we have people out and about across the Catskills that are helping people understand, number one, why the Catskills are special, number two, how to responsibly recreate here, and number three, how to get out and enjoy not just whatever they're doing, but all of the Catskills, like places like here in Camp Catskill and our communities and everything else, like, that's really key. And that's why, at the Catskill Center, our efforts related to stewards at the high use locations, we're greeting tens of thousands of people. Yeah. This year, I think we're somewhere around 60,000 that we said hello to and helped out.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. When you look at the numbers, since 2018, we're almost up to 1 million hellos.
Oh, wow. Unbelievable. Just a hello. Just an interaction, basically that.
Right. And to your point, the biggest question usually on the way out is, okay, I did Catskill, or I'm here at Peekamoose. What are the Catskills, and what else is there that I can do?
What else?
Are people redirect them out into the rest of the Catskills?
Wow. Awesome, amazing interactions that we have with the humans here. And hopefully the Catskill Center is here to point them in the right direction for the Catskills. And that's what all these volunteer organizations are here for. That's what you're here for. You're here to get the word about the Catskills. And how else can we support through the Catskill Center?
Well, we are a nonprofit organization, just like many other organizations here that do work in the Catskills. And if you want to support our work, you can visit CatskillCenter.org. And it is that time of the year that all organizations are looking for support. So I urge you to support us, to support other organizations that work here and do the work in the Catskills that you love and appreciate and get to take advantage of.
Jeff, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you so much. All you do, it's a tough job. I gotta admit, being there with you on Catskill Park Day, I think I saw you for like 5 seconds and you were gone. And I was just like, what's up with that guy? And then I found out all the stuff that you had to do and that you do for the Catskills. I said do. That was pretty funny. But once again, thank you for being on the show. Thank you for once again being on the show, episode 81. Check it out. Jeff Centerman, we talk about all things Catskills Center related, Catskills Mountain related, and how you can help out with the Catskills and volunteering, something that I support 100%.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for all that you're doing too. Hey, like this is awesome.
Fun.
So
it's fun. Look, I mean, the crowd is great. I can't ask for more. This is better than the shows I've done when I was in a band.
There you
Jessica's
go.
Jessica's got to agree with that. This is a bigger crowd than I've done when I was in a band. It was fantastic. All right, hiking is definitely better than rock bands right now. Right now it is. So yeah, I think I'm going to have Jack Walker. Jack, can you come up here, buddy? Jack. My buddy. Thanks a lot, Jeff. Really appreciate it. Uh-oh, Jack's up here. He's grab the mic, buddy.
How's it going?
So Jack Walker is up here, my friend from Infinity PCD, right?
That's right.
So Jack has helped me immensely through my time as a podcaster with helping print stuff for me for the raffle, for this day, for just anything available, my stickers. And I wanted to give a big thank you to Jack. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, yeah.
And how do you do it? How many times have I say, how the hell do you do it? Probably every...
Well, you know, it's my job. I've been doing it for a long time. So, you know, this is what I do. I brand things. And, you know, it's an opportunity to brand you here.
And you're doing a phenomenal job. I can't believe some of the stuff he's made. It's been absolutely phenomenal. So, Jeff, Jack, so you had a devil in a day, right? Did you?
I did, yeah.
How was it?
Yeah, it was pretty rough. I'm not going to lie.
I'd probably make it to Sugarloaf and then I'd start crying and I'd be like, I'm out of here.
Yeah. No, it was a good experience. It was a tough day. Just wanted to finish. And yeah, we did it. I actually have a trail sister that I...
A trail sis? What's
you
that?
Know? It's a woman that I met a couple of hikes ago. And she, you know, when she has a hike that's pretty extensive, she's like, can you help me out with this? Or can we do this together to finish?
Oh, nice. You know? Awesome.
Yeah.
And you just got your patch, correct? Last?
In April.
In April.
Finished.
What number are you? You remember?
4190.
4190. Nice. So we're up to 4,100 people.
Probably, and then some.
And then some. And so Devils in a Day, once again, there's a t-shirt up there. You should actually buy it.
I actually have one.
God, Jack, awesome.
As soon as I did it, I bought it.
I said, I think I branded the back of it. I wanted to say, do the devil in a day or your soul will be slayed.
Yeah, That'd be pretty sweet. That would be cool.
But so what was there any times during that hike where you wanted to be like, screw this, I'm out of here?
Yeah, halfway at 214.
Okay.
Got done with plateau.
Usually when I start climbing up the mountain, I'm done with it.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to the bottom at 214.
Oh yeah.
We hung out there for an hour and I swear I was bonking. I thought I was bonking, but I recovered. We had some food and we carried on.
So when did you start very early in the morning or was it?
Yeah, it was 6 a.m. by the time we got the car spotted and then, you know, got to Predator Road.
What time did you finish?
It was about 10 o'clock.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Damn. All right. So that sounds insanely exhausting.
Yeah. So the whole thing was that, so I wanted to finish it for the challenge, but my friend wanted to finish it because she had attempted it twice.
Oh, wow.
Right. So, and every time she's done it, it was with another person and they bailed out at Westkill before that climb.
Wow.
So, you know, that was kind of a motivational thing to do.
So we can do it. We can do it. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I can help you. Stuff like that. Yeah. Awesome. That's fantastic. So let's talk about also your new position with the 3500 Club. What is it again?
Yeah, so I'm the new editor for the Canister.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And this is after I was already doing the email blasts. And so it was kind of a natural progression when the position opened up. And so I'm...
You excited?
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be kind of a new format, a new look. And I think people will be excited about it.
Nice. Yeah, definitely. I'm excited. I already written something for you.
Yeah, I appreciate you contributing. No.
It was very horrible, so I'll have to write up something funny next time.
Minimal edits this time, right?
Yeah. Lies. But I can't wait to see the new canister stuff come out. Is there going to be any changes to it? Dramatic? Not dramatic changes, but...
I mean, it's going to be a magazine style.
Oh,
now,
nice.
Which is a departure from what it was the past few years. So it's kind of upgraded. So it'll be a magazine style, lots of pictures, a lot more formatting.
Nice. Yeah. People love pictures, so hopefully that'll grab their attention, and then they could read the article or something like that. Like I know a lot of the times with a canister, like I will see the title, and it won't grab my attention, but some titles will grab my attention, and some pictures will grab my attention, of course, as well. So this is can you explain a magazine style? Like what is, I know like it was like,
is yeah, it? So it's basically like if you went to the newsstand and you bought a magazine.
Oh, interesting.
So that is going to be the format where it's going to be pages of content that just flows in order.
Interesting. Yeah. That sounds fantastic. Can't wait to get into that. And I can't wait to see your work because I've seen your work that you've done for me. And I've posted, if you've looked at my Facebook page and my Instagram page, anything that's talking about the 100th celebration, the new logo was made by this guy that I've asked several times and that I felt bad for asking, but he has come through full bore to beyond of what I thought. So if you have any thoughts or designs that you want to go through, check out Infinity PCD Design. Get a hold of Jack Walker. I'll have his email in the show notes, and you can get a hold of him, and hopefully he will rip it up for you because I have no doubt that he won't.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, man.
I don't know. I think can you get Ryan from Camp Catskill up here?
Yeah. And so congrats on your 100.
Thank you very much, Jack. Thanks, you for everything. You have freaking been an immense help. The mountain lion is here. You can take that off, Sarah. Come on. I do, actually. So why haven't you sent me a Sarah's here, and she hasn't sent me a t-shirt. She supports the show. She's another sponsor of the show, but she hasn't sent me a t-shirt. How ridiculous. I don't have a t-shirt. I don't like it if I don't have it. Outrageous. I hope everybody's listening to this, because this is the way it is between these three. It's absolutely horrible. So Ryan's coming back up.
Hello.
Thank you.
Welcome.
For kind of co-hosting in the beginning.
No, this is fantastic. I love being a co-host.
So, I was going to have you talk about Camp Catskill. I mean, we're kind of at the end.
Right.
So talk about Camp Catskill, and then we'll have a tiny quick gear review.
Yes, absolutely. So Camp Catskill is an ethical outdoor shop located in Tannersville, New York. I consider us a hiking and camping shop, but we're very small. But I think I like to think we have a little bit of everything that someone might need, and a lot of stuff that someone might want when they're going for a hike or a camping trip. We're located right on Main Street in Tannersville, New York, right down the street from Catterskill Falls and North South Lake, which are very popular hiking destinations for folks that are visiting from out of town. We're nestled right in the northern part of the Catskills, and there's a ton of amazing hikes around here that are both very easy or very hard. And so you've got a kind of range of different kinds of hikes that are within 10 to 20 minutes of here for any kind of hiker. And I like to lower the bar on what a hike is for people and try to just get them out into the woods and get them to experience it. So, you know, we're very happy to be here, to have found this place in Tannersville to open up. We're about a year and a half into our residency here in Tannersville.
Nice.
And happy to be part of the community here, supporting four-season recreation outdoors in the Catskills, in the northern Catskills.
And I thank you for supporting the show. I really... thankful that you believe in me. It's just...
Oh, I've had so many conversations here tonight with folks that are so thrilled about the fact that your show exists and what it provides for the hiking community and how much it just fills a gap in the podcast environment that nobody could find. I mean, me, myself, I was always looking for a hiking podcast because I just like listening to content about hiking. You're one of the few that's doing it. So I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
I was so happy to find you and connect with you and be able to sponsor the show and support what you're doing. And I hope to continue to do that for another 100 episodes and beyond.
I appreciate it. I definitely am thankfully grateful that you support the show. And if we're looking around here, we can see everything in Camp Catskill. Like you said, it's four seasons. I see snowshoes over there.
Yep. We just put out the snowshoes. We're ready to go for the winter.
Winter hats.
That's right. We got a little bit of everything to keep you comfortable outside, keep you safe outside. If you're doing some hiking and you're going above 3,500 feet, in the wintertime, you definitely need to have some snowshoes or access to snowshoes or at least micro spikes. And we got some great options for all of those. So come visit us here in Tannersville.
Please do. Please do. Fantastic Catskill merchandise. I see a Fire Tower shirt, Devil's Path shirt, Camp Catskill shirt.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit of everything, you know. So even if you're not necessarily a hiker, you're just kind of interested in getting outdoors, we got a little something for you, too. You know, you can leave with a souvenir of your visit to this area, wear a Catskills shirt. You don't have to hike the Devil's Path to wear our Devil's Path t-shirt. It's totally fine with me. But yeah, like I said, I mean, we just want to support people that are coming here to recreate outdoors in some way, shape, or form.
Backpacks. What else? Sleeping bags, everything. You got everything here. Socks, gloves, my God. Hammocks, what? The most important microspikes. I'm pretty sure 100% of the people in here have microspikes. Sunglasses. What is the one thing that you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, I was going to talk about the binoculars, to be honest with you. The Knox Provisions binoculars, which are up front there. I didn't grab them on the way back here, but we have some great binoculars. They're from Knox Provisions. They're 8x magnification at 25 millimeters for those optics nerds out there. They're going to be a great bird watching binocular. They're going to be waterproof, fogproof, lifetime warranted from Knox Provisions. They're fully adjustable. You can focus each eye. So if you have a slightly different prescription in each of your eyes, which most of us do and most of us don't realize, you can actually focus each of your eyes independently. And then it really improves the experience of using a pair of binoculars,
right?
Which I think a lot of people are, you know, maybe using a cheaper pair of binoculars and getting frustrated with them because they can't do those kinds of things. These are great. They're really small. They're really compact. They come in a bunch of fun colors. They have a rubberized exterior. They come with a little bag and a simple neck strap. But they're a really great option.
Yeah. And, you know, you see those memes all the time of how hiking or how bird watching sneaks up on you in your 40s and 30s and 40s.
Well, it's funny you say that, but like bird watching is the number one outdoor activity of any sort of subcategory of outdoor recreation over the last few years. Bird watching has seen the most growth.
Yeah.
And so, you know, binoculars can be a great way to enhance your time in the outdoors by just getting you to see a little bit closer to something, you know, check out a bird, check out an animal from further away.
Yeah.
So I think they're a really fun thing to have.
Backyard and in the backcountry.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Backyard to backcountry. I like that. I'm going to steal backcountry. That.
Ooh. Yeah. Copyright. Damn it. I got to put that. So one of the things we talked about the last time I was here. John, thank you for coming. I wish I could have said. So the last time I came here, we talked about the history of Tannersville. Once you come into Tannersville, it is a whole different place than any other place in the Catskills. Why? Because it's colorful.
Right.
Can you tell me the history about that?
Well, yeah, I guess I can tell you a little bit of the history about that. I mean, Tannersville is named Tannersville for the leather tanning industry that existed here 150 years ago, right?
Yep.
And, you know, that has nothing to do with why it's so colorful, but it's known right now as the Painted Village in the Sky. Right?
Oh.
Because we have lots of colorful buildings. You come down Main Street and all the buildings are painted in these extraordinary different colors. The reason for that is because a few years ago, there was a benefactor that offered to paint the town. She offered to paint for she paid for the paint jobs on all of the businesses on Main Street. but with the stipulation that she picked the colors.
Oh.
And she was, just a brilliant kind of artist type that was a little eccentric maybe and loved colorful things. She painted her own house in very bright colors. And so she offered to paint for the paint jobs, but painted all of the buildings with these almost circus-like colors. And our building here Beautiful. In particular has turquoise, yellow, and blue, and probably a few more colors. There's a bunch of stuff on Main Street that's just very eye-catching. And I think it's really fun. It's one of the things that, you know, you kind of, when you come here, you kind of, I see a lot of people taking pictures of our building on the street. And it's not necessarily because they care about our shop or any of the other shops in the building, but they just like the way it looks. It's almost like a circus-like atmosphere, which I really love. It's fun.
It's it's beautiful, though. Seeing yellow and brown on streets or on like buildings and stuff like that, just seeing all these different colors makes it 100% unique.
You know what's funny is paintings. I've never actually made the connection before, but as you're talking about this, I'm making the connection to Cotopaxi's backpacks, which if you know anything about Cotopaxi, I'm true. Pointing to them in the shop here, but we have them hanging up on the wall right behind Stasha's head. But they use remnant fabrics for a line of their products called the Del Dia backpacks, and they're made from remnant fabrics that are leftovers from other bags and things that they're making. Well, no two are exactly the same colors because they use whatever remnant fabrics they have left over to make each bag. So each bag is different and they're very colorful and they've gotten very popular as a hiking backpack. So you see them in the woods, but I say to people all the time, like not everything that you use in the woods has to be black, brown, green, or camouflage colored.
Yeah, right?
You can have a little bit of fun with it. And it's the same for Tannersville. I think that every building doesn't have to be gray.
Yeah.
You don't have to be safe with that. Have a little bit of fun with it. And, I hope that that's fun for people visiting town too.
Yeah, definitely a unique place to visit. You know, everybody loves Phoenicia. Everybody loves Arkville, stuff like that. But I got to admit, Tannersville is my favorite place just because of the smiles you get when you kind of just drive through here. You're like, oh man, this is beautiful. The paintings, stuff like that.
Not just that, but I also think that Tannersville is really getting a diverse mix of businesses here. I mean, we've got some incredible new businesses, but also businesses that have been here forever. We're right across the street from Last Chance Cheese. A lot of people know it as. But there are restaurants, a pub style restaurant. They do sell great cheese and they have beers and they have, all sorts of different things. They have a little tavern that they open up in the summertime for weekends. But there's also a new baker in town, Shandaken Bakes, that's got a huge following and he's busy every weekend. We got the pantry right next door, which is a great breakfast and lunch spot. We got Maggie's Crooked Cafe, who's been here forever. We've got all these different businesses that are, you can make a day of it. You can come and visit and do a bunch of different things. And I think that's fantastic for anyone that's visiting from out of town or even just a day trip from somewhere further like Oneonta, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I come here, we come here and do a short little hike, but then we come and travel around Tannersville. Right. We come and travel around Hunters. Yeah. You want to spread the love, basically, for the networking and stuff like that.
Support local.
Exactly. Support local.
I mean, there's all of Walmart these businesses sucks. Are independent. There's not a lot of chains up here. These people are doing it themselves. They're often bootstrapping it. We're working by ourselves or with a few small staff.
Yeah.
We would really love to see anybody else that wants to come here, have a great time, and be able to come back.
Awesome. Awesome. And I wish you all the success. And once again, thank you for supporting the show. Really appreciate it. And once again, your store is absolutely fantastic.
It's got everything thank you so much. This has been great. It's been such a great time. I think this worked out more perfectly than we could have ever hoped
actually,
for. It was actually
sucked.
What we wanted. No, it was. It did not suck. I mean, from anyone's perspective, this has been great. Everybody that I've talked to all around the room has had a great time, and they've come to celebrate you. And so congratulations again. 100th episode. Fantastic. I hope you continue for another 100.
Thank you very much, Ryan. Thank you for your support. One last person I'd like to call up is the man right in front of me. Dylan Utter just finished the Appalachian Trail,
2,198 miles.
198 miles. You look as ripped as ever.
I feel good.
I'll pull the microphone up a little bit for it.
Feel good.
So how was your time?
It was the best time ever. I would do it again.
I'm already thinking about doing the PCT in 5 years.
Yes, in 5 years?
Do you want to do it with me?
You gotta ask her. Can she take care of the dogs? That's you gotta ask her. Yes, you gotta.
Can you go on the PCT with me?
No,
she will do it fast.
We could do it fast. Actually, yeah. You could probably do it faster. But yes.
Months.
So your time on the Appalachian Trail. Did you have a great time? I'm guessing.
It was the best thing I could have ever done.
Did it change you?
It changed aspects. It changed my outlook on life, that's for sure.
Well, good.
I don't think it changed me, but it made me realize what is more important in life.
Still have 25 pack abs?
26.
26. 26. Yeah, it's got to be even. It's got to be even.
And so, now I'm working with a bunch of cougars.
Like hot 30-year-old moms?
Yeah, cleaning their pools.
You know, I was just like, wait a minute. Is that... Oh, interesting. Not that cougar over there, right?
Not that cougar.
Okay, well, that's...
But they do exist. They're out here.
What can you say about your experience on the Appalachian Trail? What was your most memorable experience?
The community.
I got to admit, that's all I've heard about.
There's a great sense of community out there.
I've heard about just the connections that you make with people.
And everyone you know, everyone you meet out there are avid hikers and very into hiking. So there's always a conversation to be had.
Did you learn anything new on the Appalachian Trail, or are you fully prepared?
I wouldn't say I was fully prepared, but I learned how to deal with the rain.
Oh, yeah. You said you went through rain in one of my favorite spots.
I learned to embrace the suck, as they
call
it.
Embrace the suck. That's what it is. I try to tell Jessica that all the time.
And I learned how to deal with PUDs.
Pointless up and downs. Once again, PUDs. Pointless up and downs. So you battled through the rain in the Shenandoahs, correct?
Yeah. Well... pretty much the whole trail. I believe this was the rainiest season in the last 5 years.
Oh, I'm so sorry, man. Shenandoahs were beautiful. We plan on going down there in June. Actually, we're booking that very soon, right, Jessica? I am going to book it anyway.
You got to do some trail magic.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to try to make this an annual event to go down there and do trail magic.
Get at the trails. And, that's great.
And just, once again, the expression on your guys' faces when we saw you was just... I don't know. My heart jumped out of my chest, and I was just like, wow, these people really appreciate the trail magic, really appreciate just a little simple Coke.
Oh, seriously. And you need those calories.
Bag of freaking M&Ms. They loved it.
Bag of M&Ms, a PBR.
It's got to be. Put that on the list. What else? Oranges?
Oranges are great. Fruit. See? We don't get enough fruit.
See?
We got to combat scurvy.
So it's fruit and PBR. Are you sure everybody loves PBR?
That's like a staple diet there. You can live off of that.
Okay, so we'll have to do that. So, once again, it was great seeing you finish.
I'm so happy I could make it out here.
I know, dude. Thank you for coming all the way from Binghamton, like you and Darren. Coming from Binghamton.
You're from Binghamton, too? Great.
Yeah, see? It's all Black Bears Nation. We got to go to the game together.
Absolutely. Awesome. You let me know when.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, and congratulations once again.
Thank you very much. All right, so I think we're going to wrap this up. It has been an hour and 30 minutes. It's a little bit too long than I wanted to do like 20 minutes. At least, max, was 20 minutes. So I really appreciate everybody showing up. Once again, purchase some stuff from Camp Catskill. We got some T-shirts over here. I see some people who have not made their way over here to get some T-shirts. Get some of these T-shirts. The mountain lion is going crazy over here. Once again, thank you very much for the monthly supporters and monthly sponsors for the show. Really appreciate it. You guys are kind of making me go for a little bit further every day. I really appreciate it. This isn't free. I had to get so much new stuff for this great time that I've had here. Once again, I don't even know how many people are here. Probably 20 or 30 people, way more than I projected. Thank you, everybody who had donated. Once again, this isn't free. I've done a lot of hard work for this, and I appreciate you guys. You guys make me go further and further. And once again, I thank everyone who is listening to this podcast. It has been a wild time, and I thank you guys everything for doing. So we're going to sign off on this, and hopefully you have a great day. Enjoy. Thank you for joining me on the 100th episode celebration of Inside the Line of Catskill Mountains podcast.
Hey guys, I just want to thank you for listening to the show. If you enjoyed the show, subscribe and throw down a smooth review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any podcast platform that you use. can also check daily updates of the podcast, hikes, hiking memes, and local news on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and the official website of the show. Remember this, you just keep on living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
Wicked, wicked, wicked.